ready for heavy mental. Here's Weisbach.
Thank you for joining me tonight on The Quest. Well, you know, from time to time, we'll take a look at different religions and get spokespeople on for those. The first tonight is a religion called Jain, which, quite frankly, I wasn't aware of, but apparently it is about the oldest living religion. And some of its beliefs include that God is completely unconcerned with creation of the universe or with any happening in the universe. That the universe goes on of its own accord. That God does not get involved in that creation. Well, there's much, of course, much more to this religion. And tonight I'm joined by Vinod Daryaporkar, who is a spokesperson for this religion. Welcome.
Hello.
So are you considered to be a priest?
I am not a priest, but I am deeply involved in the study of this religion, and I am a follower of this religion from the childhood. I am born in this.
Now, Jain is spelled J-A-I-N-A?
No, J-A-I-N.
Just I-N, so there's no A at the end of it.
No. Just Jain.
And it's pronounced Jain.
Jain.
And you say it's the oldest living religion. Its origins are in India?
Yes.
Now, is it an offshoot of Hinduism?
It is not an offshoot of Hinduism, but it is a original religion and very, very old.
How old would you say it is?
As per the Jain tradition, there are 24 prophets. And the last prophet, Mahavira, was born 2,600 years back.
So that was the last one?
The last of the 24th.
Now, what about the first prophet?
Yeah, the first one is considered to be prehistorical era. And he is supposed to be very, very old, at the beginning of the time cycle.
Now, these prophets, do they have special powers?
Well, they are the normal human beings. They are born as the human beings, but they purify themselves and they get rid of all their attachment and evolve their personality to the level at which they attain the best powers, infinite knowledge, infinite bliss, infinite perception. And at that level, then they are called the prophets.
So we might think of them as being enlightened?
Yes.
Is that about comparable to what when Buddhism talks about enlightenment? Is that what you're talking about?
Okay. Yes, it is equivalent to that.
And so who declares that a prophet has purified himself to that degree? They themselves say, I am now purified?
They do not declare, but their qualities, there are certain qualities attached at the level of purification, like we said, the infinite perception and infinite knowledge and infinite power and infinite bliss. When they attain that level, then automatically they come to the highest level at which the human being can reach. And at that level, there is no certification like so-and-so is certified that he is a prophet.
I understand.
Yeah.
Now, Vinod, God.
Yes.
There is a God.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking you, in Jain, there is a God, right?
No, as per Jainism, there is no God which is in the normal concept, like people assume that there is some power which created the universe and created the earth and created human beings, and that if you worship that particular God, then if he is pleased, he will give you so many things.
Yeah.
And if he is displeased, he will not give you something and he will send you to the hell.
Well,
in that concept, Jainism doesn't believe in the God. Jainism specifically says that there is nobody who created the universe. The universe is existing there from time immemorial, and it is running by the basic natural principles, and there is nobody, no individual governing that.
So you're saying that there is no beginning time.
Yeah.
That the universe just always has been.
Yes.
So you're saying that the universe does not have a creator?
Universe does not have a creator. This is existing, because then the question will come, who created the creator?
Yes.
Yes. So there is no end. Then the question will be, who created that creator, who created the God and who created the universe? So that's why Jainism says that the universe is from time immemorial and it will continue to be like that.
So does Jainism then say that there is no God?
There is no God in this sense, yes.
But is there a God in any sense?
No, there is in the sense that a human being can attain to those qualities which are, as we described earlier, and at that level he reaches the godhood, but there is nothing like an individual God.
Okay, let me just stay with that for a moment. So you say that when that individual achieves enlightenment, we'll call it enlightenment now, because most of us understand that.
Yeah.
So achieves enlightenment, he or she then joins the Godhead.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, does Jainism believe in reincarnation?
Jainism believes in the reincarnation in the sense that it doesn't believe reincarnation, it believes in the rebirth.
Is there a difference?
Yeah, there is a difference. Reincarnation means sometimes people say that this God has come back in a different form and different shape. And then after some time again, he came in a different form and different shape. So sometimes that is known as incarnation. But rebirth is that I was born in a different body earlier, and then I am born now, and I will be born again until I reach the state of enlightenment.
Now, you're saying that when you're reborn, you're saying you're going to get the same type of body again and again?
Same. It need not be same type of body. It could be different body. And
Do you remember your past lives?
No. Not all of them. But people who can reach certain level of power, then they can see through the past births. But not the common human beings like us.
So is it... Speak for yourself. What do you mean just not common human beings like us?
Like until you reach to the enlightenment level, at the enlightenment level, because you have infinite perception and you have infinite knowledge and infinite power, at that level you are able to see through
that. Now you see, Vinod, now when I heard you describe that, I was thinking of myself as a potential God.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Not just a common, mere human being,
right,
but a potential God, a God in the making.
Yes, that is very true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is very true. And Jainism says very specifically that each living being has a potential to reach the godhood.
Now, once you've achieved this level of enlightenment, you no longer have rebirths?
No.
It's over?
It is over. Once you reach the enlightenment, then you are not reborn, and then you are not going through the suffering and misery, because you have already reached the level enlightenment.
So will I, you know, if I don't get reborn again, do I still exist?
Yes, you will exist at the state, in the state at which the enlightened soul is there.
Now, your prophets,
yes,
did they leave a lot of writings behind? How do you remember them? I mean, how is your religion passed on? Are there sacred texts involved?
There is no specific text saying that this particular text contains the specific rules and they must be followed. What the Jainism says is that the prophet has preached certain things. And in the olden days, of course, they were passed on by tradition of monks, that they will orally pass on and it will be memorized. But when the writing came into the existence, from there the scripture is being written. But Jainism very specifically says that, and in the prophets also say that, you have to discover the truth yourself. No one can give you the truth. You have to exert the efforts. You have to evolve yourself and gradually raise your spiritual level so that you discover the truth yourself. Anybody who has told you something, it's just the guidelines. Even what prophet has told you, they are just the guidelines. They are not commandments. They are not the things to be followed blindly. You yourself, as you evolve your personality, you have to rediscover the truth again and again. And you will gradually, as you gradually grow, you will look at the things with a different perception.
So do you have any kind of tools I can use, that like prayer or meditation?
Yes, there are prayers and there are meditations, but they are a means to achieve the higher level of spirituality.
Well, let me ask you this, because you said that God doesn't get involved.
Right.
So why bother praying? Who are you praying to?
No, you are praying. This is very, very, very nice distinction, that in Jainism, one prays to an enlightened soul to acquire those qualities. The prayer is only for that.
So I'm praying to my own soul. Is that right?
Your own soul at the potential purified level.
So what I'm doing is I'm kind of encouraging my soul to get its act together and get on with it towards enlightenment.
Yes.
All right, got it. So how would I say that, dear soul? I mean, give me an example of a prayer.
Right. The first prayer, let us say, is we bow down to the enlightened souls. This is the prayer.
That was it?
We bow down to the enlightened souls.
Yes.
We bow down because we want to acquire those qualities which they have. The qualities of infinite bliss, infinite perception, infinite knowledge, those qualities where they have no miseries, no pain, no suffering, no frustration, no anger, no hatred, and all those worldly things.
Is it possible to have all those things in the human body?
To be without
pain, to have infinite bliss.
No, once we reach the enlightenment stage,
that's where we will be getting
those qualities. But from the level where we are, mm-hmm. and to the enlightenment level, there are various grades, various levels of our purification, or we can say evolving our spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So as we slowly evolve ourselves, the misery, pain, and this will slowly get reduced and reduced.
Do you think everybody has misery and pain?
Everybody who is a living being and not in enlightened stage has a misery, has a pain, has a suffering, because he has some wants. He wants something. He desires something. He has some attachment to certain things. And as long as you have attachment, as long as you have wants, as long as you have desires, you will have pain, misery, and suffering, because your desires and wants will never be fully satisfied.
All right, sir, stand by. Vinod, is it Darya Purka?
Yes.
Purka? I got that right, but it's a tough name. I should call you Mr. Vinod.
Yeah, I think that's great.
All right, thank you. Stand by.
Okay.
All right, Vinod is our guest. We're talking about Jainism. I, quite frankly, did not know about this religion until a few months ago. We're going to start to do a series, you know, in the weeks ahead. Every once in a while to take a look at a different religion. And I was really quite fascinated by this particular one. I'd never heard of it. And yet it is the oldest living religion, Jainism, J-A-I-N-I-S-M. That's how it's spelled. Now, if you have comments and questions, and filled with questions like I am about this religion, you, of course, can get right in the act and join in with the questioning. And this is the number. It's toll-free, 1-888-700-6333, 1-888-700-6333. That's 1-888-700-6333. Wherever you can hear my voice, it is toll-free. The website to find out even more about the Jain religion is www.jainworld.com, JAINworld.com. You are on the quest. This is Wise Back.
We return to Wiseback.
Our guest this evening on the quest is Vinod, and he is a follower of the religion called Jain. Although I must ask him about this. You know, you sent me this book, which I got. You want this book back, right?
No, you can have it.
I can? Well, not. Thank you. It says Aspects of Jain Religion, but it spells Jain, J-A-I-N-A.
Yeah, sometimes they spell like that, but J-A-I-N is the most appropriate spelling.
And it's Jain.
Jain.
The oldest living religion. And that's what we're discussing tonight. You, of course, out there can join in, and I encourage you to, at 1-888-700-6333. The bottom line of this religion basically is that there is a God, but God did not create the universe, and God does not get involved in the universe, that everything that happens is the result of man's action. Let's go to the phone lines. First, we're going to go to Chris. Welcome to the quest. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm actually Hindu myself, and I find this religion extremely similar. I guess we're both from India, so they'd have some similarities. But as far as the detachment from material things, the lack of trying to weed out relationships in your life, trying to find peace within yourself, and trying to, because I think in the end, like material attachments and attachments to other people cause you pain and sorrow, which is exactly what the guy was saying earlier. And I can completely see that, because in Hinduism it's the same way, except for us there are idols and there are gods, but that's just a form to get there in the end, to get to that stage where you realize that God is within yourself, and that the only way to reach him is just to detach yourself from the world and all the emotions and things that go along with that. So that was my only comment.
Vinod?
Yeah, I think there are many similarities in most of the religions, and the common principles, whether it is Christianity or Islam or Hinduism or Jainism, Buddhism, the basic principles are generally which governs our life have been laid out similar. But there are fundamental principle difference or the approach in which they need to be achieved.
So tell me, what do you think would be the fundamental difference between Jainism and Hinduism?
The fundamental difference is that the concept of God as a creator is there in Hinduism and is not in there in Jainism.
All right, next we have Heidi. Welcome to the quest.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, I kind of came in on the middle, and I was listening to some of it, and I really think it's right on as far as what feels right to me. And I just heard about the God is not did not create the universe. Is that right?
Yes.
That's according to the Jain religion.
Is it possible to separate anything from God? I mean, I think one of our problems is we kind of look at God as an entity. And it's just everything that is and all that could be and the potential that is always there that we spring out of. So is there really such a thing as us being, that God is not involved, perhaps not in the same way that we are with one another, but... For instance, we pray to our soul, which is the highest part of us, to become sort of united with that consciousness, that soul consciousness, the ego, to become aware of that. But isn't that God as well, then, the soul?
Well, the difference is very simple, that there is nothing like God or any entity which created the universe or created the material things or created the human beings. They are there from time immemorial, and they would continue to be there.
All right, Heidi, thank you for your call. So God, you kind of acknowledge that there is a God.
No, there is a Godhood. There is no God as an individual entity.
But you're saying that we all compose God.
Yeah, we can reach to the state of Godhood in that sense. That is the enlightenment state.
So what Heidi's saying, does God permeate all there is?
No, because God in the sense of creator is not existing.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But does God permeate everything? Is God everywhere? Is God in you and me and the desk and the flowers and the grass and in the sun and the sky, in the other planets?
Yeah, if you take soul as a connected to each other, then in that sense. But Jainism believes that each soul is independent and unique and has, you know, no governing by some supernatural power.
All right, and of course we're also going to talk about your concept of that there's only two things in this universe, that's soul and non-soul, right?
Yes.
We have to talk about that and much more. Also, it seems to be also quite a moral religion. You preach a bit of moralism here, right?
Yes. Yes.
We're going to talk about that. What's the stance then on something like abortion?
Yeah, abortion firstly is, in that sense, it's an individual choice of that individual whether to have the baby or not to have the baby would be the choice of that individual woman. She has the right and she has the freedom to decide.
And so when does life begin?
The life begins at the time of conception.
So, if you believe that, then what you're saying is the woman has the right to kill the baby.
She has the right because she has to decide. It is not moral, it is an immoral act, but she has the freedom. In Jainism, every individual is considered equal. And women are also given the equal right. There is no distinction. And The prophet's religious assembly used to have women, men, and even...
All right, Vinod, I must go for a break. Vinod,
okay, right.
Darya Porkar, who is talking to us about Jainism, the oldest living religion. Comments and questions are welcome. I have a line open and available right now at 1-888-700-6333. 1-888-700-6333. You're on the quest. This is Wise Back.
We return to Wiseback. Lines are open at 1-888-700-6333. 1-888-700-6333.
We are discussing Jainism tonight. It's the oldest living religion. It originates from India. And the gentleman that's with us tonight is Vinod Darya Porkar. And how long have you been practicing this Jain religion all your life?
Yes, I was born in this tradition, and I have been practicing it.
Now, is your wife as well?
Yes, our whole family, and for generation to generation, we have been following this religion.
I guess the one big thing here is that really makes it so different is that you don't believe a God created the universe.
Yes,
and you don't believe that God gets involved in what's going on about us here in the universe.
Yeah, that's right.
But surely the actions of human beings here on Earth don't impact the entire universe. I mean, is there other intelligence in other parts of the universe?
Yes. It believes that there are the Jain scripture mentions clearly about ever-expanding universe and thousands of suns and moons existing and the intelligent people like human being existing on other planets.
And so you're saying that Jainism, the old scriptures, talk about an expanding universe.
Yes.
Because now science, Western science, talks about that too.
Yes. So Jainism has been saying that this universe is constantly changing. Everything in the universe is changing every second, every nanosecond. And it will keep changing. This is the nature of all the material in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And this, all the basic matters are time immemorial. They have three qualities, that they are constantly changing, but there is permanence, that some of their basic qualities will always remain permanent. Like if you take a sugar, if you take sugar in, you can make it in different forms, make it small pieces or dissolve in water or milk, but the sweetness, that's the basic quality of sugar, will always remain there.
Now, you're married, you say?
Yes.
Now, does Jainism talk about monogamy or divorce?
Well, the basic Jain thing is more on the spirituality, and to attain the spirituality, it talks about several basic disciplines and code of conduct, and in that it assumes that you have the proper bringing up so that you follow the right path. And it doesn't specifically say that driver should be there or should not be there. There is no restriction or no saying that drivers is good or drivers is bad or it should not be there or it is banned or it is encouraged. But based on the code of conduct, if you are following, you can get down from a certain level of, you may attain a certain level of spirituality, but then you can fall back if you do certain wrong things in your conduct.
So you can advance your spirituality and then your conduct could knock you back down.
Yeah, it could. Then you will fall back
right.
A few steps, and then you have to again climb up and come to the level.
All right, the number to call for your comments and your questions.
Yes.
It's 1-888-700-6333. That's 1-888-700-6333. Let's go to the phone lines. Mary, welcome to the quest.
Thank you. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good.
Hello, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Being Native American, I also believe that God is impersonal and that basically, although I believe that he made all this, then he said, okay, you're on your own now, you know, do what you have to. But what I want to ask you is, are you in community or do you have communities established so that there's an ongoing teaching of how your church works? Do you have Sunday, do you have a Sabbath, or how do you do it?
Yeah, we have the community centers, and we have the temple complexes, and we have the preaching centers where the concepts of Jainism are taught, and the regular followers, they can meet and exchange the views, and they can learn more about the things. And we have a certain structure of monkhood and nuns and other things, and the people who are devoted their life to preaching, and people who are a common householder and following. So all that structure exists.
Now, within the Jain religion, is there room for a mystical experience, something paranormal?
It is there, and at certain level of spiritual evaluation, you can attain some of those qualities. But Jainism specifically cautions people that don't try to divert on those areas, because then you will miss on your main goal of attaining the enlightenment. But at certain level, as you evolve yourself and you get to the higher level of spirituality, some of those qualities can be acquired.
So when you say, so you don't believe in heaven and hell then?
Heaven and hell concepts are existing in Jainism.
They do?
Yes.
Well, tell me more.
They do exist in the similar way as in many other religions, that based on your own deeds, the good or bad deeds, you are reborn in certain different bodies. And those bodies could be on the earth, bodies of human or bodies of certain animals, or those could be the bodies of heavenly bodies, or those could be the bodies that exist in the hell.
So you believe in transmigration. I mean, you believe then, as the Hindus do, that I could end up coming back as a horse.
Yes.
Now, that would be a punishment then, would it?
Yes, depending on your if you are doing bad karmas. Jainism also believes the karma theory is that whatever you do, the fruits of that are to be borne by you, and nobody else can help you in bearing those fruits.
Well, let me ask you this. So you're saying that when I look at my dog, that that star really is a soul that was naughty in the last lifetime?
Yeah. The dog has a soul which could have been in any other form earlier. It could have been some human being sometime. It could have been some other animal sometime. But the dog has the potentiality to reach the enlightenment stage if it exerts in the right direction, and then when it is reborn, it can be born in a higher level of consciousness.
All right, thank you. Let's go to, is it pronounced Musa?
Hi, Peter, yeah.
Is it pronounced Musa?
Musa.
Musa. Yeah. Go ahead. Welcome to the quest.
Hi. But your guest, this is a faith or religion. All the faith and religion received scripture from prophets. And to make sure that it's for the right scripture, and to make sure it's a witness and a miracles. Is your faith have the same thing as in Christianity, Islam, and Judaism?
Well,
or just you create that?
No, scripture do exist, and the scripture is written based
from
on
where
the...
you receive it.
Pardon?
From where you receive it?
No,
through a prophet?
No. Scripture is written by the human beings. Who has...
So you create that. You did...
Yes.
So and all our... Not from...
All our prophets are human beings. All our prophets
but
are...
They have miracles. They came with miracles.
No. They are born like common human beings, and they evolve their spirituality to the level of enlightenment, and so they become prophet. They are not of a non-human nature, or they are not
But how you can make the people believe in you if you are the prophets don't have miracles, like the Moses have the stick, like Jesus has...
Well, all right, but it's a different religion. It's a different religion here. Thanks for your call, Musa. Call again sometime. Now, do you believe then in miracle healings, for instance? If you get sick, would you go to a to a Western doctor?
Yes, of course. We go to the Western doctor, but we also believe in the spiritual healing. The people at the higher spiritual level can attain certain qualities by which they can cure certain illnesses.
But let me get back to the question of God. And so do you see God then as this kind of impersonal source, the impersonal power that people at a certain level of awareness can utilize?
It is basically in every soul has that potentiality to achieve that power. And it is at that level, those people can acquire those qualities. But again, it is different from the concept that there is one central authority which governs everything.
All right.
So this is the individual soul can acquire those qualities. And each soul in potentiality has a power to become enlightened.
Now, so you say that then the downside to being immoral or being evil,
yes,
hurting other people, whatever, is
yes,
that you would come back in the next lifetime as maybe an animal.
Yeah.
What about an insect? Could you come back as an insect?
Yes.
Like a cockroach?
Yes.
Whoa, really? Oh.
Yes. Every living being, every living being has a soul.
But tell me, this cockroach, is it kind of like at the bottom of the ladder? I mean, can you go any further down than a cockroach?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
To
even
where?
Even the plants are considered as living beings.
Yeah.
And that's why in Jainism, many concepts are very, very environment friendly. This is a little deviation from your question, but I wanted to emphasize on this point. All the concepts in Jainism, but today one of our greatest problems is the environment damage, but the concept that you respect every single living being, irrespective of its grade, whether it is an animal, it is an insect, or it is even the plants, and you don't hurt any of the living beings because potentially they could reach to the level of enlightenment.
Now, are you saying that you wouldn't whack a cockroach?
Yeah, no. We don't kill cockroaches. We don't kill insects.
Really?
And we use the things to the minimum, like we don't waste water or we don't consume.
Yeah, let me get back to the cockroaches because you live in Southern California.
Yeah.
I've lived in Southern California, and they can be a problem.
Yeah.
Cockroaches, I mean.
Yeah, but...
So how do you get rid of them?
Yeah, but once you reach the little higher level of spirituality, you can manage to live with everything.
You mean you let the cockroaches run around?
I mean, you can manage. There is no need to kill the insects. There is no need to kill the snakes, or there is no need to kill... Because there are several stories or the...
No, hold on. I got to go for a break, Vinod.
Okay.
But we're going to get back to this when we come back. 1-888-700-6333. 1-888-700-6333. We are discussing Jainism. And it is the oldest living religion. Its origins come from India. And you can join in with your questions. 1-888-700-6333. I think I built up a lot of bad karma because I'll tell you, I have whacked a lot of cockroaches in my life. And I've whacked a lot of mosquitoes, too, particularly this season. So I maybe I'll be coming back as a cockroach. God, can you believe it? A cockroach. Ugh. You're on the quest. This is Wise Back.
We return to Wiseback.
Thank you for joining me tonight on The Quest. Our guest is Vinod, and he is a spokesperson for the religion of Jainism, I should say, the oldest living religion. And the number to call for your comments and your questions, 1-888-700-6333. You know, I got to tell you, I guess I built up a lot of karma because I was saying before the break that I have whacked a lot of cockroaches, and particularly this year, we've had a lot of mosquitoes here in Seattle, so I've been just whacking away. Are you telling me I'm going to end up coming back as a cockroach?
But you have a chance to purify yourself and reverse the bad effects of your actions, because there are certain things one need to do for living, but if you do at the minimum, and then you have a chance to purify yourself. So there are two basic things we need to remember is that every living being we must learn to respect, because if we cannot give life to somebody, we have no right to take that life. And if you cultivate that outlook, you definitely will learn how to live in harmony with the nature, in harmony with the other animals and living beings, and in harmony with everybody on the earth. And very good concept is that the whole earth is my friend, and everything on this earth is my friend. So no one is my enemy.
Right.
No one is.
Now, when the tiger comes at you,
right,
and he's going to make a meal out of you,
yes,
would you shoot it?
Yeah, but you can always find a method of saving yourself without killing the tiger.
No, well, suppose you can't. Now, come on.
Yeah, if you cannot, yes, for saving your life.
So you see, now it's just like me and my mosquitoes. I'm just defending myself.
No, mosquitoes you can manage without killing them.
How?
Yeah. So once you learn to respect the other living being, I think your whole perception will change. And then you are able to live in harmony. But in an event that is a question of your life and death, yes, you have right to self-defense.
Now, in Jainism, you were telling me, is a science of living.
Yes.
Hey, just expand on that a bit.
Yeah, there are several concepts, basically, because Jainism says that every individual has a responsibility to evolve himself. And because of that philosophy, all the code of conduct, various tenets and laws which are given are basically to help individual in evolving the higher levels of spirituality. And this is based on deep understanding of the human body, human mind, human psyche, and the microbodies, which are, that is the energy body and other things, and the interaction between the living and the non-living elements. And whole thing has been laid out very, very scientific way, because it assumes that there is no supernatural God or somebody who is going to do certain things for you. So everything is laid down in a scientific way. You can understand, you can follow, and then you can go to the higher level and the higher level.
All right, let's go to Eugene. Welcome to the quest. Go ahead.
Hello there. I have three things. So one's an observation, another one's a whimsy question, the other one's a serious one.
All right.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. The first observation is that maybe I've heard it said that there's only one religion, but there's actually 100 different versions of it or more.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe this is just an early version of the later religious practices based on works.
All right.
And so that was the observation. Now the question, the whimsy one. Do you treat humans nicer or different than cockroaches?
Ah.
We treat everybody, every living being should be treated equal, because the concept is that the potential of the soul or the living being is that it can reach the enlightenment stage, and we look at those qualities, and that's why everyone, every living being should be respected at the same level. There is no reason to distinguish.
Mm-hmm. And your third?
The third is, does our progress toward enlightenment depend solely on our unassisted by God or even something within ourselves, higher than ourselves or greater than ourselves? Does that depend only on our works?
It depends purely on our works. There are guidelines available from the higher, those who have achieved the enlightenment, the guidelines are available. But it is only your own efforts that will help you in uplifting your spirituality and uplifting yourself, because there is nobody else can do this on your behalf, or you cannot delegate or you cannot abdicate those things. You have to do it your own self.
Okay, well, thank you for being
clear. Thank you. Now, you also talk about their soul and non-soul.
Yes.
Would a plant have a soul?
Plant has a soul.
But a rock would not have a soul.
Yeah.
That would be non-soul. Is that right?
Yes.
And so, I mean, you're a vegetarian?
Yes, pure vegetarian.
So, but you eat plants which have a soul?
No, the concept is like this. The plants, like if I eat a fruit is, I'm not hurting a plant. If the ripened fruit has
falls off the tree.
Yeah, if it is fallen off the tree, if I eat that,
right.
Or when the wheat, the plant is dried out and the wheat is there, I eat that, I am not hurting the plant.
What about a carrot?
Yeah, carrot, we normally, the roots are not supposed to be eaten by Jains, because for carrot, you have to uproot the plant.
All right. Well, listen, there's much more available on your website.
Yes.
In terms of Jainism, and it is www.jainworld.com. That is spelled J-A-I-N as in Norman, W-O-R-L-D.com. And you get much more information, all you want to know about. Now, this aspects of Jain religion, which you sent me, that's not in print anymore, is it?
Yes, that book is out of print, but...
There are other books on it?
There are several books, and
right.
On... the JainWorld.com site, there are 20 books, books are available.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, Vinod. I appreciate this. It's been very educational. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, right. Everybody, and thank you for giving this chance.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Well, this is an interesting religion. We'll do different religions in the weeks ahead, just an hour, taking a look at them and finding out about them. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us by mail, it's 2211 Fifth Avenue, Seattle, Washington, 98121. That's 2211 Fifth Avenue, Seattle, Washington, 98121. You are on the quest. This is Wiseback.